Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
John 15, beginning with verse 26, the Word of God says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." May God add blessing to the reading of His Word. Again, let's get a picture of where we're at in John's Gospel. Jesus and His disciples have left the upper room. They have had the Passover. Jesus has washed the feet of the disciples. He has been teaching them about His departure, about the way things are getting ready to change and what's getting ready to happen. And now they are on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus is having a conversation or a teaching, if you will, to these men as they're all walking in that direction. Judas Iscariot has already left the group. He has gone to sell Jesus for 30 pieces of silver and to deliver the guard to them so that they can make the arrest and start the Passion Week. So Jesus has been touching base with them and talking with them about the realities of the world and the conditions of the world and the hostilities of the world that they're going to be dealing with. Jesus has also been leaving them with His legacy. And that legacy is something the church is still working with and blessed with today. We have the legacy of Jesus. If you're saved today and you're born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, you are part of the legacy of Jesus Christ. Now, not everyone can say that, because not everyone can say this morning that they are saved. Not everyone can stand and say this morning they have been born again by the blood of Christ. That's a sad reality, but it is a reality that the church must face. It is a reality that the world must face. There are saved people and there are lost people. Spiritually speaking, those are the only two classifications of people in the world: the saved and the lost. And the legacy of Jesus, and as it's seen through the church, is to proclaim the Word of God out to those that are lost so that they may be saved. It really doesn't get any simpler than that. But there are some things that have to come into play. It isn't something we do on our own. We don't get out of bed and we don't make a decision, "I'm going to go talk to people today about Jesus." We should get out of bed prepared to move and do and work as the Holy Spirit leads us and directs us. But we don't get out of bed and plan this, because it's not something we can do of our own accord. We don't have the strength. We don't have the wisdom. We don't have the knowledge. We don't have the blessings within us. We don't have the ability to save ourselves. If we have to depend on Jesus to save us, how are we going to save anyone else? What we must do is we must be empowered by the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit work through us. And that's where we're going with the message this morning. Because we can talk about the legacy of Jesus for the remainder of our lives and still not do it justice, because it grows and it develops, and the church is a living organism. It is something that is constantly growing, and the revelation of God's Word is constantly bringing us closer to Him. But the passage that we read emphasizes the nature of a Christian witness today. So what is our Christian witness? What is our nature toward that Christian witness? To grasp that emphasis, we have to understand first that the Christian witness is empowered by the Holy Spirit. It doesn't involve us. It's not empowered by us, not by you or I. There's no education that comes into play with it. There's no, it's not about how much money you give. It's not about how much time you give. It's not about what you invest into the church. It's not what you reap from that investment in the church. It's about, it's nothing materialistic. It is all spiritual. It is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in your life personally. That isn't something that we need to take lightly. Too often, the body of Christ misses the Holy Spirit. We get in line behind Jesus. We follow God the Father. But we have a tendency today to miss the Holy Spirit. God is a triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So why do we miss it? How do we do that? How do we get wrapped up in things that we miss so heavily that we miss the Holy Spirit? Well, let's think about some things in the church. We'll get wrapped up in music, and I'm all for music. I think music is a part of the service. But we'll get so wrapped up in whether it's contemporary or traditional, whether it is guitars and drums, or whether it is piano and organ, we'll get so wrapped up in different things and different aspects of it, or we'll get so wrapped up in things of buildings and grounds, and we got to take care of our buildings and grounds. I'm not saying we shouldn't, but we'll get so wrapped up in all of these other things that the world looks at, that the world says, we judge the quality of a church by the size of the building, by the magnificence of the building. We look at it and we determine it based on this criteria. And the church gets wrapped into that. And I'll tell you a true example. This is something that we witnessed recently. We had a trip to Charleston. And while we were down there, we took a historical tour. And we seen several really beautiful churches. Some of those churches were built in the 1700s before the Revolutionary War. Beautiful architecture. They had a testimony of the history of the area as they would go through. But something I noticed about every one that they talked to us about on that tour, they had absolutely nothing to say about the spiritual influence of that church. That church was known because of its historical significance. That church was visited because of its historical significance. Nothing was said about anything that congregation done in the community. Nothing was said about the influence of the church. Nothing was said about the messages that were preached. Nothing was said about anything spiritual coming out of those churches. It was all about the age of the church, the historical significance of the church, who had visited that church, who had sat and attended in that church. Nothing about the power of God that had came from that church. Too often, that's the picture of the whole church today. Churches are big and beautiful. They're elaborate in their architecture. They're wonderful in their displays and in their entertainment and in their technology and the presentations of everything that go on. But there's no spiritual significance. There's no witness of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been pushed aside. The Holy Spirit has said, just go take a seat. We'll call you when we want you. And sadly, that's where the Holy Spirit's still sitting in a lot of churches today. So, when we think of the Holy Spirit, and we think about the impact the Holy Spirit has, we have to realize that from the moment that we are saved, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The very moment that we're saved. So when we hinder and when we squelch the Holy Spirit, we're squelching Him inside of us. We're squelching Him down. We're holding Him down. We're wanting to keep him packed and pushed in deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper inside of us and not let him come out. The Holy Spirit wants to speak through us. The Holy Spirit wants to move in our lives. The Holy Spirit wants to use us as a vessel because we have been cleaned. We have been found worthy through the blood of Jesus Christ for the Holy Spirit to occupy us, to tabernacle or dwell inside of us, and to work through us, for God to work through us, through the Holy Spirit, to bring about His gospel. The nature of a Christian witness is the nature of an obedient Christian allowing the Holy Spirit to have His way in his life. So this morning, for a little while, I'm asking to set aside the distractions of the world. Set aside anything that may keep you from God's Word. Set aside any personal ambitions or expectations. And then just submit. Just submit yourself to the influence of God's Word and let your heart hear the message that Jesus has to say about the power of the Holy Spirit and the nature of a Christian witness. Notice with me four things. First, that a Christian witness is proclaimed to the world. To the world. The world is lost. The world is that other side that we came from. We've been there. We've all been there. None of us are saved from within the church. We're saved to the body of Christ, but we are saved from the world into the church. We've all been there. It doesn't matter how deeply or how shallow it may have been. We've all been there because we're all sinners saved by grace. Now the passage, the two verses that I read does not specifically say the world. But if you've been here through this series, you will remember the previous passage of verses 18 through 25 did cover the world. And if you look ahead in verses 16, 1 through 11, you will see that the world shows up again. So we're right in the middle of it. The conversation's still going on. The context is still there. The world is still being approached. Today's word is a continuance of the last one that we preached, of the verses 18 through 25. And it's a forerunner to the next, where we begin chapter 16. So it establishes the world as a mission field. And it establishes the Christian as a missionary. As obvious as this is, there are many Christians this morning who never confront the world with the gospel. There are many Christians this morning who will sit in church and they will sing the songs of Zion. They will lift up Jesus Christ. They will praise His name. They will read from His Word. They will shake hands and they will give the amens and the hallelujahs. And then they will get up and they will walk out. And they will go into their week. And Jesus will never cross their heart or cross their lips until next Sunday morning. A witness. It's sad, but it's true. We are missionaries. When we leave this back door, when we walk out this back door and we go out into this parking lot and we get into our vehicle, we are on the mission field. We are on the mission field of Jesus Christ. Whether it is in our homes, whether it is in the grocery store, in the shopping centers, whether it is at work, whether it is with the casual conversations and the casual contacts we have during the week, we are missionaries and we are on the mission field. And we very rarely see that and we very rarely embrace it. But it's something the church needs to do because in this postmodern world, we live in confusion and anger and bitterness and division and strife. We live in it and we live among it all day. We witness it. We witness it every day. And we witness those instigating it as they preach a contradicting message, one that is often hidden behind tolerance, which does nothing more than cause more confusion. Because the tolerance that they're trying to preach and the tolerance that they're trying to give is doing nothing more than instigating more hatred, more confusion, more corruption, more anger, more bitterness. We are the missionaries. We are the ones that are supposed to have the good news of Jesus Christ. Yet the Christian very rarely wants to speak up. Sadly, the Christian too very rarely wants to smile. We've got joy in Jesus Christ. We've got joy in the Holy Spirit bubbling to come out. Yes, the world is ugly. After last night, London is in a mess with all of the problems going on there and all of the terror taking place. America is in a mess. There's danger and things going on everywhere. It's enough to make you want to just cower down and find a corner somewhere and call it your safe place and stay there. But God says, my missionaries, my people, my children, I want you to step up. You have got something to smile about. You've got some joy in your heart. The Christian witness is proclaimed to the world, and that Christian witness is Jesus. Because let me ask you something. If we don't do it, who will? If we don't, who is left to do it? Who else will be called? We, the church, has to take ownership of the commission that Jesus gave us. We have to look into the mirror. We have to say, I'm it. Me. If no one else will, I'm it. That's what it takes to proclaim the gospel. That's what it takes to have this witness and to let it grow and let it bubble out. We have to say, I'm it. If no one else will, it's not about me aligning with a group. It's not about me being in this clique or that clique. It's not about me being with this denomination or that denomination. It's about me and me alone. It's about me getting on my face before God and saying, God, I will. I will. The Christian witness has to be proclaimed to the world, and is proclaimed to the world by individuals. We can collectively support all of the missions and the missionaries that we can put money into, whether it's local or regional or national or international, and we should. We should. But before missions has any real influence in your life, and before missions really gets into who you are and you really grasp it spiritually, it has to be personal. It has to be something that you are personally involved with in some way, shape, form, or fashion. And the only way you're going to get there is to understand right off the bat, the Christian witness is a proclamation of the world through you as God's missionary to the people that you have influence over every day. So, if the witness is proclaimed to the world, then a Christian witness has to be provided by the Father. Notice, Jesus says, I will send unto you from the Father. Well, there's a couple of things that goes along with that we need to pick up on this morning. First, God provides this witness through Scripture. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times, various times and various manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. God spoke to those prior to us. He spoke unto those in the Old Testament by the prophets. the Scripture, the Word of God, provides for you and I the witness that we have in our heart. The witness that God is real. That God is real. That means we understand our Bible to be the inerrant, inspired Word of God. It is real. It is real because it speaks of a God who is real, who is the real creator of the world, who is the real Savior, who is the real Redeemer, who is everything. You see, we have spent so much time over the last decades watering down God. We water down the Scriptures, and we constantly hear the Scriptures being portrayed as, well, it may contain the Word of God, but it has some myths, and it has some legends, and it has this, and it has that. And we spend all this time listening to all this watering down of the Word of God. And as we're listening to the Word of God being watered down, all we're doing is seeing God becoming weaker and weaker and weaker. God doesn't become weaker. He is God. When we quit seeing Him as He really is, then we quit seeing the purpose of the church as it really is. We quit seeing the importance of the Christian witness. We quit seeing God that has provided that witness to us. And when we quit seeing God that provides the witness, then it no longer becomes God's witness through us, but it becomes who I am, how good I am, how moral I am, how much I give, what I do, what I am. We become our own idol. We become our own God. And the devil and the world are great with that because there's no power, there's no authority in me. There's no power, there's no authority in you. It has to come from God. He has to provide it. So we can't water it down. It has to come through Scripture. And we have to understand Scripture to have the authority in our lives that it was put together and it was given to us to have. And we can't accept it on anything less. Well, not only is it provided through Scripture, it's provided through Jesus. Still in Hebrews chapter 1, this time in verse 2, hath in these days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom He hath made the world. The writer of Hebrews goes from the Old Testament to the New Testament. The New Testament, in these days He has spoken to us by His Son, whom we just read in verses 26 and 27 of John's Gospel. It is the Word of Jesus. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He made the worlds. Jesus is not an afterthought. Jesus was present in eternity when the worlds were made. When God spoke into creation, Jesus was there. When God spoke into creation and everything around us, the Holy Spirit was there. The triune Godhead was there before, and the triune Godhead will be there long after. And don't ask me to explain how I understand what I know, because I don't. I accept it by faith. And if you're saved today, that's what you need to do. Because the Bible is a book of faith. It's not a book of science. I don't care what Bill Nye, the science guy, might say. The Bible is a book of faith. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. We're not saved by grace through science. We're not saved by grace through technology. We're not saved by grace through any of that. It's by faith. And it's by faith in one person, and that's Jesus Christ. God provides the witness that we have through His Son, Jesus Christ, and through His Word. Either we accept that and we testify of that and we move on with that and we allow God to work through us, or we become a stumbling block. We become a stumbling block to God's Word, to God's mission. We become a stumbling block to the church. We become a stumbling block spiritually in the lives of others and in our own lives as well. And I don't know about you this morning, but I don't want to be a stumbling block. Well, while we're on the topic of the Son, point three this morning is a Christian witness pertains to the Son. Notice with me also, He shall testify of me. The Holy Spirit will testify of Jesus Christ. Acts 2:32 says, "This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses." We are all witnesses of Jesus. We are all witnesses through the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit testifies of Jesus. Paul didn't witness the resurrection. The only way that Paul can make the statement that we just read out of Acts 2:32 is that it came through the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter and James and John and some of the others that was there, they did witness it. But that same Holy Spirit that was there at the resurrection of Christ was there in the Apostle Paul's life on the Damascus Road when Paul looks up and says, "Lord, Lord." The same Holy Spirit that moved in Paul's life on the Damascus Road dwells in the hearts of believers today. It is a witness that pertains to the Son of God, to Jesus. The early church obeyed the Lord's command and preached a message of repentance. When Peter concluded the first sermon preached in the history of the church, he exhorted those that listened to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin, that ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Salvation brings the gift of the Holy Ghost. It brings a witness that pertains to the saving Son of God, Jesus Christ. Our nature as Christians, if you're a born-again Christian, it's in your nature to talk about Jesus. You have to hold it back. You have to give yourself over to fear. You have to give yourself over to whatever. You have to hold it back. But if you're saved today, you have it in your spirit to bear witness to Jesus Christ. You want to tell people about it. You want to brag about it. Now, you may not. You may choose not to. You may hold it back. But you know deep down in your heart, the Holy Spirit is working. The Holy Spirit is moving. The Holy Spirit's saying, "Hey, you need to talk about Jesus. You need to brag about Jesus." I hear folks talk Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday about church service on Sunday. And I hear everything talked about from, man, how good the music was, to how big the crowd was, to how beautiful the building was, to what the preacher did do or didn't do. Every once in a while, I'll run across somebody talking about how Jesus moved and how the Holy Spirit moved in that service. And I'll say, "Wait just a minute. Let's me and you go talk. Tell me about this. What the Holy Spirit did? What happened with Jesus? You see that other stuff? It's fine. It's good conversation. But when it comes to the witness that comes through the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, that's what we ought to be bragging about. That's what we ought to be hungering for. That's what we ought to be feeding for. We ought to be getting up in the mornings and we ought to be coming after God's Word, feeding on it to get us closer to the Lord. We ought to be praying, getting us closer to the Lord. We ought to be striving and desiring, what does God want in my life?" doesn't mean you're going to quit your job. That doesn't mean you're going to be doing any of these other things. I'm not talking about a cult. I'm talking about being obedient to God who created you, to God who saved you, to God who is wanting to work through you as a witness and have you as a vessel that is worthy to be used as a witness. He wants that witness to be pertaining to His Son, Jesus. Today, folks are lost. They're in need of a Savior. The gospel is given under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. It's the only thing that's going to bring those people to salvation. The only thing. An eloquent preacher, a charismatic preacher, all of those things, they may draw a big crowd, but they can't save anyone. Only Jesus. And last, a Christian witness is pronounced by the believers. The Lord says, "And ye also shall bear witness." He doesn't say, "Ye also may want to bear witness." He doesn't say, "Ye also may think about bearing witness." He doesn't say, "Ye also may decide to bear witness." He says, "Ye also shall bear witness." As born again Christians, we will bear witness. That witness of God and that witness of Jesus Christ will be one of two. Either we will be submissive and we will let the Holy Spirit that's indwelling us come out and have His way, and we will give a testimony of Jesus Christ as being the grand Savior that He is, of humanity, the one that has bought and paid for our souls, the one that has reborn us and given us a new life, or we will give a testimony of a Jesus that is ho-hum, a Jesus that is weak. How is it pronounced in the life of the believer? Depends upon how that believer submits himself. Where's the authority of God in your life this morning? Is there authority found in Scripture? Is there authority found in Jesus? If there is, then let it come out. Brag about it. Brag about what God has done. Brag about Jesus. Ask Him to put you, ask Him in prayer to put you in front of people and give you the words to say. Don't try to rehearse anything. Don't try to make it about you. You just study the Word of God and pray that God will put you in front of people with the words to say, and it will happen. It will happen. And when it happens, give yourself over and let the Holy Spirit have His way and let those words happen. Be thoughtful, be kind, be loving. Be caring and concerned about their soul and about their circumstances, where they come from, what God's trying to save them from. Because everyone has got some skeletons in their past. Everyone has skeletons pushed back in a closet that they really don't want drug out publicly. God knows about them. That's between them and God. You lead them to Jesus. You brag about Jesus. You let the Holy Spirit take care of the rest of it. You let the Holy Spirit and God take care of what goes on in their lives, just like you let the Holy Spirit and God take care of what goes on in your life. Give that same respect to others. Give that same respect to God in working with them. Believers, born-again believers, are the final link in the witness chain. And often, we're the weakest link in that chain. It's the Holy Spirit who enables us to effectively testify to those in the world about Jesus. We can try under our own power, and we will fail. We can submit then to the power of the Holy Spirit, and we can watch God do through us what we only dreamed about doing under our own authority. And we can watch it work and work graciously and work majesty, as long as God is behind it, as long as God is doing it, and the Holy Spirit's doing it. All of the apostles, minus Paul, were literal witnesses, and none of us can truthfully make that claim. Paul couldn't make that claim. Paul was a man, in his own words, born out of season. He was born again after the resurrection, after the ascension. But Christians, just like you and I today, born out of that time and out of that season, we can point people to the truth of Christ by testimony in our own life. God saved me. If God can save me, God can save you. If God calls me to repentance, God can call you to repentance. God chose to reach me, and if you're saved today, God chose to reach you. But He chose to reach us through other people. Do you remember the people that He used to reach you with? You remember those folks? They may have shared the gospel. They may have just loved you. They may have cared about you to bring you to church so you could hear it preached. But God used people to reach you. And God wants to use you to reach others. The Christian witness is pronounced today by believers. So this morning, every born-again saint of God, we'll be leaving this building, and as I said earlier, we're going to be entering the mission field. So my question is, are you prepared? We've settled from God's Word. Spreading the gospel isn't something that we personally choose to do or not to do. It's something that we're called to do. It's something the Holy Spirit does through us. Are you being submissive to that this morning, or are you simply avoiding the issue altogether? So this morning I want to encourage you, under the authority of God's Word and the Holy Spirit, to embrace the opportunity that you have to exercise the nature of a Christian witness. Let's pray.